I want to welcome you, and I want to give a special welcome to our teachers tonight. We have two wonderful teachers with us. Elder Otis Jones and Elder Danny Holland will be bringing the lessons this evening. Brother Moran and Brother Hayes both did a wonderful job last week, and we look forward to two more good lessons tonight. Again, I'm sure most of you know that these are being taped. They will be available on audio, on CDs and MP3s. And we have the order forms over here if you would like to order them. The prices are on the order forms, and I do have copies of the lessons throughout this month and January as well. And I apologize for not having them last week. My printer on my computer wouldn't work, and I couldn't get them printed off, and I had moved it. And did you know those things won't work if you don't plug them in? And so I got that worked out, and we have copies of those things there for you. So we're studying through our winter Bible study this year on relationships. And I thought about, had a few verses of scripture come to my mind that I'd like to read for a short devotional about two men that we read about in the Bible that had a wonderful relationship. In fact, the best kind of relationship with each other. One of them was Jesus, and the other was the Apostle Peter. And then Matthew 16, beginning with verse 13, it says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.'" And Jesus and the Apostle Peter certainly knew each other in a very special way. And I treasure more than anything tonight my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, thankful to be his child. We need to go to the Lord in prayer. I want to ask you to pray for our teachers this evening, that God will free their speech and liberate their thoughts and help them tonight as they stand before us. And as always, let's pray for those who are lost and without the Lord. I want to ask Brother Rick Huff tonight to lead us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, for those who don't, Lord, that they come to know you, Lord, turn kids here tonight. Thank you, Father, for their efforts and their support towards this Bible study. Ask you to bless them for that. Please bless our teachers tonight.
Give us a little more time. Heavenly Father, may we bring the hearts of our lives and they'll never forget the mission of their father's life for our country. We pray, Lord, that we leave this family safely, making knowledge of their father's work. We pray if they hold their knowledge. Lord, we bless you. Heavenly Father, have an opportunity to come to know you. Step your God. We pray to you, Father, that the Lord is our country, nation, Lord, and Lord of many things that face in your life. Heavenly Father, that man is not our dear God, and that he has decreased. Lord, hear our ministry, Lord. For we look to you, Heavenly Father, we know your truth to grow. And Lord, that you can do all things. Pray we say, and go and keep them day by day. Heavenly Father, we give us all thanks for the liberties and the freedoms that you've given us thus far, dear God. And we pray, Lord, that our children and grandchildren might be afforded those years, same freedom, Heavenly Father, and save us and to be free. We just pray once again tonight, Heavenly Father, that you meet with us and that you bless this study. And Lord, may we give you all the honor and glory for each and everything that we do in our lives. And we beg in Jesus' name, of course, amen.
Our first lesson tonight will be brought by Elder Otis Jones. Brother Jones is the pastor at White Hill Missionary Baptist Church. I have a great deal of love and respect for Brother Otis. He's a good preacher, a good teacher, and I always look forward to hearing his lessons. And so you pray for him and give your attention to the word of the Lord as he comes. So, Brother Otis.
The purpose of this lesson is to understand the best way to have a godly relationship between grandparents and grandchildren. Now, we understand that God formed man of the dust of the earth, and we look at that form, and then we use some other words. And we talk about people being in their formative years. In other words, when they're young, that many things influence them to form and cause them to be what they are. And for the best results, we need to look to the Lord, to the grandparents, the parents, to provide a positive mold or form for our grandchildren. And I felt like I should read this Psalms 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Now, talking about our grandchildren and how to have a godly relation with them, let's think about how that we've talked about how that we need to mold them. And I'd like to read from Webster's 1828 a definition of mold. The matrix in which anything is cast and receives its form. In other words, the place where something is cast and receives its form. Molds of various kinds. Molds for casting cannon in various vessels are composed of some species of the earth, particularly clay. Molds of other purposes consist of a cavity in some species of metal cut or formed to the shape, designed, or otherwise formed, each for its particular use. So you see that what we have is we have a grandchild, if you will, and it needs to be molded. Now, I don't think there's any doubt about that, but let's talk about some of the things we'd like to look at as we talk about that relationship with our grandchildren. Now, first, let's consider two thoughts that's up in here. And the first one I underlined when you get your lesson, and it says, particularly clay. And, you know, I like that picture, how that we're like clay and how that we can be molded and how that grandchild can be molded. But you see that we're talking about preparing the mold, which it's inside. And it starts off and it says that there is a cavity inside that needs to be filled. So you see that our grandchildren are going to be filled with something. Now, clay in its natural form will just take whatever is easiest. And grandchildren left to their own nature would probably take whatever's easiest. But you see, what our need is for the Lord is to form them. And to prepare the form, let's look at the grandparents and the parents. You know, our grandchildren will be molded or formed. Now, what kind of things makes this mold? In other words, what goes around them and makes them what they are? Well, we understand that the Lord is there, always there for them if they'll come to Him. We understand that we as grandparents would do anything for our grandchildren. The parents are there, and how that we would mold them. And it is important that we look to something and point something to start with. Now, if you're going to have a mold, or in some cases today, there are big presses inside factories, and many of you men have seen the big presses and how that they will form something. You know, very often those forms are almost instantaneous, but a great pressure. But you see that there are so many small, tiny pressures against our grandchildren that we need to do whatever the Lord wants so that we can make it in the right way. But these large presses I'm talking to you about, they have a great foundation. I've seen buildings where they made these and they just dig a big hole and fill it full of concrete so that press will not move as it does what it needs to be. And to start, 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So you see, for us to be anything, and for us to have any influence, a proper influence on our grandchildren, then we need to have our feet on that foundation. And you know, I said that not only we, but the parents. And I like this scripture, and it came, the Lord brought this to my mind. And this is Paul writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5. And you see, it's not just depending on the Lord, which is important that I'm talking about, but there's other things that winds up influencing them. But he wrote to Timothy and said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. So you can see how the Lord expects us to, I guess you could say, kind of start down that road so that we cause things to be right. Now, we think about grandchildren in the sense of we have a spouse, then we have our children, and then we have the grandchildren. But you see, I want to try to impress upon you as I was considering it how important that we provide the greatest influence that we can, because as far as the grandchild is concerned, if you look at the ancestors, we're only half of them, because you see, our children marry someone else. And it may be that that family doesn't know the Lord. So you see that the need is great for us to do what is necessary. So you see, it starts with us. As I want to talk about it, I could go back and talk about in the past, but we'll begin with ourselves. Now, what's the first thing that we as grandparents should do to prepare ourselves for grandchildren? What's the most important thing in the world? We should prepare ourselves by seeking the Lord for our salvation. Because without our salvation, we're not going anywhere down this road. We should walk with integrity for the blessings of our children. Proverbs 20:7 says, The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. So you see that this process starts, if we look at it, we have to look at ourselves first. But I know that we can't just look at ourselves, because I have to think about where I came from. Because you see, someone molded us. Someone helped us to get where we are. So you see that we need to live our lives in such a way that it's passed on down. And after we're saved, another important thing is, listen to this one. You remember the Ten Commandments? The first four have to do with our relationship with God. And then the last six have to do with relationship to each other. But listen to this one, and this has been called the first commandment with promise. He said, we should honor our father and mother. What does that have to do with our grandchildren? Listen to this. Exodus 20:12. Honor thy father and thy mother. Why? That thy days may be long upon the land in which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So if we want to be able to later on have time with our grandchildren, then we need to do the things that's necessary as far as the Lord's concerned, so that we have a long life. That gives us a longer time to mold our grandchildren. Something that's very important and probably in this world we consider very strong. We should follow the Lord to preserve a godly nation for our children. Listen to this. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We have a nation that the Lord has provided to us, that we have the freedom, so that we are freed without influence from other things other than the world of being able to influence our children. And listen to this. In Deuteronomy 32:16-47, he said unto them, set your heart upon all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life, and through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. So you see, our future, as far as our nation and the freedom of our grandchildren, comes back to us. Now, our children need to be molded. We should mold our children morally and religiously. If we do, we're more likely that our children, and you see now what we're looking at is our grandchildren. First, it starts with us. And second is to mold our children morally and religiously so that we have a better chance of our grandchildren hearing the gospel. If we do, we are more likely. And it is very important. Proverbs 22:6, and this was discussed, I guess, both times last time. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up. Now, Strong's 2596 says, to dedicate, to devote an object to deity, to train morally and religiously. A child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, there's lots of discussions that you can have, but this next one, I'll come back to it. I'll go to the next one, and I'll come back to this one I just read. Most important, everything that we teach our children, the most important thing is like we are talking about as far as ourselves. We should teach our children to seek and to find the Lord. Proverbs 8:32, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse not. Blessed is the man that heareth, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of the door. Whosoever findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. So we teach our children, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and put that child in the place that they can hear the gospel. Well, I'll get back to that. But you remember it says that if you'll train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Now, I don't know all the answers to it, but I do know one part. If you'll take your child to church, teach your child, let them hear the gospel, teach them to seek the Lord, and do everything and so that they get saved. When he's old, he'll not depart from that. Now, I don't know about the rest of it, but I do know that part is absolutely true. Our children face so many things outside of the family. You see, I'm talking about inside the family now. But they face so many things outside the family. We should teach our children to resist Satan and draw nigh to God. Said submit, James 7:4-10. He said, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hearts, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted, mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaven. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. So we need to, by example, show our children that when we turn to the Lord, the peace and blessings that we have. And it's better if we don't show them when we go away from the Lord the pain and the sorrow that we have. So we need to teach our children to fear the Lord. I fear the Lord. I know you do. I can tell you that all the preachers out there fear the Lord, or they probably wouldn't be preaching. But you see, I fear the Lord. And it's important to fear the Lord because I was raised in a home that there was discipline. When Daddy told me to do something, I was afraid of him. Did that keep me from loving him? No. I believe it made me love him more. Amen. And there have been times when I felt that you were being punished in a sense, and yet you could feel that love that would well up in you. So you see that God expects us to do that. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture. Now listen to this. Nurture, what it says. It says discipline, training, and chastening. You see, if we just read it and say bring them up in the nurture of the Lord, there's so much in the world today says you bring your children up and just be nice to them. I've heard them say, let them choose whatever they want to do. That's not what that scripture says. Because if it did, nurture would be, that's real nice. But nurture doesn't mean that. It says discipline, training, and chastening. So we are expected as parents to discipline our children and train them and give an example of what they should be. And admonition. And it says warning and instruction. And if you think about it, when we teach about God, we teach about instructions, and we also teach about warnings. You think about just almost anything you want to talk about as far as God's teaching. It includes instruction, and it's warning if you don't do what it says. Now, we are instructed to teach our children about the Lord wherever we go. You know, I was considering this. And as we consider this, I was thinking about, and I'm going to give you some Old Testament. I was thinking about the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we had a lesson other night at church, and our other day at church, and we were talking about it. And we were talking about the law and the gospel. Now, the gospel points people to Christ. The law points people to Christ. So by that definition, the law and the gospel are the same. And I never thought about it that, but it's absolutely true. Because you see, both of them point to Jesus. It's kind of like people giving you, see two things, and one of them sees it from over here and another one sees it from over there, but they're talking about the same thing. So you see, the law and the gospel, they both teach us about Jesus. They teach us how we should live. And listen to this. We're instructed to teach our children about the Lord wherever we go. Now I want you to listen to this, Deuteronomy 6 and 7. And I like this. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when I settest in thine house. You belong to a church, and you're a church covenant. It says to religiously educate our children. To have family and secret devotions. You know, part of our problem in our church, our churches, begins at home. You know, grandparents can look back and they can say, I wish. And one of the things that I failed on to the extent that I should have done more is to religiously educate our children and to have family and secret devotion. Now, they expect it and they love it. I'll give you two examples. Number one examples, we were a period of time we would get up and we had to get up early in the morning to go see someone to preach. And what we would do is we had a couch there in the den, and we'd get there in front of the couch, and all four of us would have prayer. We were busy one morning getting ready to go, and Amy says, Dad, we didn't do this. So you see, they expect us to do that. We have two grandchildren in Richmond, Virginia, and we have prayer with them. And I pray for those children, Charlotte and Ava, by name. And do you know that Charlotte wants us, she's the oldest one, she wants you to have prayer, and she likes it when you have prayer. So you see, we're to teach our children about the Lord where we go. I'll read it again. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou settest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So you see that we're instructed to teach them wherever we go. Now, wherever we go, we are also instructed to attend church. And we should take our children to church. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The next one is important for the molding of our grandchildren. We should teach and provide an example of the sanctity of marriage. All of you know the things we face. In Brentwood, we have three children, Henry and Adele and Mark. Adele is 8. And people learn things very young. And out of the conversation on the TV, Adele says, a woman marrying a woman, that's silly. So you see, we need to teach them. But you see, she'd already been taught enough that she knew that that very discussion that was going on the TV was wrong. Now, there will come a time when we should leave our children to the Lord. If I could back it up and do it again, I'll say there will come two times that we need to leave our children to the Lord.
The first one is, as we bring them up, that we've taught them everything that we know how to teach them about the Lord, and tell them to seek the Lord. Then we come to a place so that, Lord, I can't do anymore. It's up to you to save them. And you know, I like to read this out of 1 Samuel. This was when Hannah was promising to take Samuel back. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood," he's talking to Eli, "I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord here. So you see, there's two times that we need to give them completely to the Lord. Number one is when they're lost and we can't do anything else. And finally, when it comes time for them to have their own family, we have to give them to the Lord. Because you see, our influence begins to wane. Now, what do we need to do? We're down to the children, our grandchildren. You see, we need to live our lives in a way. And you know, I left off one, and I need to go back and get that one. You know, there's two reasons that we need to live this way. And the first one is that we should walk with integrity for the blessing of our grandchildren. And I left this one off. And this one's really important. And this is in the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20 and 5 and 6. Thou shalt, the first is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Then he said, no graven images. And 20 and 5 and 6 says, thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Visited the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So you see, there's a double reason that we should live a godly life. One is so the Lord will bless them. And second is so the Lord won't visit them for what we did. Well, we've given them up. They've got their parents. Their life is different from us. What can we do? Grandparents and parents are not the total mold anyway that forms our grandchildren. The world and Satan tries to form them. But even the face of everything they face, the Lord provides hope. In the last part of James 5 and 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And it didn't say just availeth much in this case. It just said availeth much. So what do we need to start with our grandchildren? After all these things we've done, now we're looking at them. Pray for them. Pray with them if you have a chance. We need to pray that our children and their wife or husband will serve the Lord and teach our grandchildren about the Lord. 2 Timothy says, but continue thou, 2 Timothy 3 and 14 and 15, but continue now in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. We pray that they'll continue in the things that we taught them, if we taught them correctly. We need to pray for the salvation of our grandchildren. You know, let me read this. 1 Peter 1, 22 through 25. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren,
See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. I want to go back to the first part of this. It says, purifying your souls. Now, the Lord took me down through a few steps to get this thought. You remember I talked about the mold. And that mold was one that was formed out of clay. In this description, there's other kinds, but this one is a mold formed out of clay. And the mold has a cavity in it. Now, I want to take it just a little bit further. There's another molding process that's called a lost wax process. Now, that's a very simple process. First thing you do is you would say, unless you wanted a ring. You would form a ring out of wax. And then that delicate wax ring would be coated with clay as to not damage it and maintain its form. And then that clay would be baked to harden it. And when it hardens it, the wax melts away. And then you've got your form. Now, what do you do next? You take molten gold, if you want to use that picture, and you pour it down into that form. It fills that cavity. So you see that that block of clay now has that pure gold inside of it. Now, to be able to get that pure gold out of that block of clay, you have to destroy that block of clay to reveal that pure gold ring inside of it. You know, if we think about that, it's kind of like being saved. And then the Lord, when he got me down to that part, he brought back something that happened to me a few weeks ago. I was in Lowe's, and there was a man there that he was so happy. You've seen people that they just talk to everybody, and they're in the best mood of anybody you've seen all day. Just wonderful. So, you know, you wonder, and I said, you sure are happy. He said, I'm a Christian. You see what the Lord does, he kindly, like fishing, you know, you just kindly put the bait out there, and I took it, and he said, I'm a Christian. Now, it's always amazing to me how the Lord will have you ask a question in a certain way. Now, looking at him, I didn't believe he was a missionary Baptist. But I found out he wasn't. The question I asked him, I said, when did you first become a Christian? I don't think I ever asked anybody that before, but it just came out just like that. He hesitated a minute, and he said, I'm an alcoholic. He said, I had been in treatment 3 months. I'd been in treatment 3 months, and he said, I dreamed one night that I killed everybody. Now, he didn't tell me who it was at first, but listen to him later. He dreamed he'd killed his family because he talked about his little daughter a little bit later. He said, I was in terrible shape, and I found out he was laying in the floor. And he's telling me about the first time he's telling me about when he became a Christian. And here's what he said. He said, I was laying in the floor. He said, the Lord came down. He jerked off the top of my head. And he poured it full of love till he came out my hands and the bottom of my feet. Now you see, that's filling that form full. And that's what the Lord does. He fills us pure inside.
completely pure. I used the illustration of the gold, but you see, and I want to read this again, that purified your soul. Seed remaineth and cannot sin. You know, I got another picture of this because you see that pure gold is inside that block of clay. And you can't get that gold out till that clay is destroyed. So you see how that the end of our life comes. And then the Lord takes that pure soul out and leaves that clay to deteriorate. Now, one last thing. We should pray for the leadership of the Spirit in our relationship with our grandchildren. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, there's been times that our children, before they were lost, I talked to them. And the first time you have the conversation, I said, someday you'll be lost. And I said, do you know what you'll have to do? And they'll say, no. And I say, you just pray. You pray. And you know, the Lord will then bring that conversation up again, and you'll have it again. You'll say, someday you'll be lost, and you know what you have to do. And they'll answer, pray. And you know what? It's important that you do what the Lord wants when he wants it. Because then our grandchildren came along. First there was Henry. And I had that conversation with Henry. Said, Henry, someday you'll be lost. And then, you know what to do. So we got that down. He needed to pray. Well, Adele is 2 years younger than Henry. So we're driving in the truck. They like to ride in the truck. We're driving in the truck, and I still remember going down the road. I said, now this time I have both Adele and Henry in there. I said, you know, someday y'all will be lost. I said, y'all know what you'll have to do? Henry said, Papa, I've already been saved. I didn't know that till he told me. I said, you know, you're real cautious when you're talking to a young child. I said, where were you saved? He said, in my room by my bed. I was satisfied with that answer. But there is one more thing. I said, have you told anybody? He said, yeah, I told Mama. So you see, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, he was saved already. He'd already told Mama. Why did the Lord impress me to ask him? I don't know. Maybe for Adele. Because you see, the Lord saved her too. So what can we do to have a godly relationship between us and our grandchildren? Well, you know, I think this is totally the answer. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Thank you.
Thank the Lord for the good lesson. This, I thought of so many things while he was speaking to us, and this was a real special lesson to me tonight because especially my spiritual life, was greatly affected by my grandparents. I grew up for several years in my childhood. I lived right across the street from them, and I loved to visit them. And I couldn't go visit them without them talking to me about the Lord. And they had a great influence on my life when I was a young man. And they're both gone to be with the Lord now. But I sure thought about them a lot while he was giving his lesson tonight. So God bless you, brother. I sure enjoyed the good lesson. We're going to take a break. We have some refreshments for you downstairs. I'd like to ask everyone, if you would, to be back up here by 10 after 8. That'll give us about 20 minutes to take a break. So I'm going to ask you to stand together and ask someone to dismiss us and ask the Lord to bless that which we're about to receive. It sure is good to see Brother Hunton tonight. Thankful he can be with us, and I'm going to ask him if he would to ask the blessing at this time.
Father, we thank thee for the opportunity that you've given us, the privilege, Father, that we have tonight of being able to enter into service for thee. Lord God, we thank thee for the blessing that is brought. Help us that we will apply this to our lives. Bless the efforts. Dear God, the man that studied and prepared and delivered this. Father, we pray that
I think Brother Jones does have copies of his lessons, so.